shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I?
Get the handout tonight. We are back in the book of Psalm chapter 119. We will be in it for a few more weeks. It's our summer series. And summer is well, really, church calendar, it ends on anniversary weekend. By the way, we had a fabulous anniversary weekend. And the men's meeting was tremendous. The Saturday, Super Saturday was fabulous. And then Sunday at the skating rink, and then the services here for our anniversary was tremendous. I know some people, because it's Labor Day, it's kind of like the last fling type of deal. And I always loved, there's two things I love about summer. I love when it begins, and I love when it ends. Yeah. And I am so over summer, and I'm glad the college started. By the way, great group of college students, good spirit, good kids. And that started. Next week, we start school. And I asked some of the kids, when they're getting candy, you're excited for school. Some of them are like, yes. Yeah. Some of them are like, no. So not a lot we can do about that. So we're going to finish up this series in a few weeks as we finish Psalm chapter 119. What I'm doing the last few lessons, I just wanted to go through Psalm 119 and take out a lot of the key verses and just kind of teach the principles that they teach. We started last week with number 1, 2, and 3. We said, first of all, prayer is an important part of understanding the Word. Of course, every time you read it, open it, you ought to pray, Lord, what? Open my eyes so I can behold wonderful things out of the law. We said, number two, God's Word is not to be endured, but delighted in. That's more our attitude towards the Word of God, what we think about it. And then we said, number three, the strength we need to live godly in this life comes from the Word. Now, these are new. Number four, a Christian who lives biblically. By that I mean they strive in their life to live the way the Bible tells them that they should live. They strive to take the principles in the Bible that are taught and live those. So a Christian who lives biblically must do so on purpose. Purpose. Okay? Doesn't happen on accident. Verse 30, 31, and 32. The verses that don't have, that just have one number in front of them, they're all in chapter, in Psalm 119. It says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I've said this on many occasions, but I will always say it because it's true. Wherever you are at spiritually in your life, you're there because you choose to be. If there was a spiritual barometer from 1 to 10, and you are a 1, you feel like you're a 1. You're a 1 because you choose to be a 1. If you're a 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 10, it's because that's where you have chosen to place yourself. Okay? And I'm not, when I say 10, I'm not talking about perfection. You know, no one's, if you're perfect, let me just explain something to you. You are in the wrong church. Okay? You need to go somewhere else because we're probably going to mess you up. But we're striving to be what God wants us to be. And if spiritually speaking, you're on that, wherever you're at, you have to always evaluate. There's so many things under that you could be said. You are as close to God as you choose to be. I just don't feel close to God. Well, the reason you're not close to God is because you've not chosen to be close to God. Amen. You're not growing in that direction to get close to Him. There's many reasons that could be. You are as close to your Bible as you choose to be. You know, if you're someone that's, and now again, if you're a new Christian growing forward, it takes a while to kind of learn the principles and really, really get into it. And that comes with usage. But if you've been a Christian for a while and it's like, you know, I've been a Christian for a while, and this Bible thing, I'm just not good at it. That's because you don't want to be good at it. Because you've chosen to leave yourself in that area. You're as good a soul winner as you choose to be. Okay? It's kind of been my little hammer for a while, okay? And by the way, this is a 30-second commercial. I am really excited about one-by-one soul winning. We are changing it up. It is going to be fabulous. Special thank you to RU. We're going to put a nice book together. We're going to have some challenges that we do, and we grow in our challenges, and we're going to reward you. Okay? When you finish a challenge, we're gonna bring you up and give you a sticker and you put it in the back of your book. Okay, if you're faithful to all 7 weeks, you're gonna get a New Testament. If you're faithful to all 7 weeks and you do all your challenges, we're gonna give you a Bible. And we're gonna encourage you. And it's just simple things to do that'll help us. Those are just 3 things I picked out, but you could pick out anything else in the Christian life. Any area of the Christian life that you're supposed to be involved with or supposed to be a part of your life, wherever you are on that scale, you are on that scale because you have chosen to place yourself there, either by what you're doing or by what you're not doing. Now, in this verse, if we're going to live biblically and get to where we choose to be, we have to do it on purpose. It does not happen on accident. Too many things, people in life, they just want it to just kind of work out and let's just see, you know, how it happens. Doesn't work that way. You have to purposely say, I'm in on what God is doing. Now, these 3 verses are together, 30, 31, and 32. And I notice when I look in here, there's a progression. There's 3 key words there. Look in each verse. And they kind of progress down the commitment level. The first word is, I have, and it's right there, it's there, the third word, chosen. So notice the order. The first little blank on your notes is the word choose. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before thee. That is a decision. No one lives the Christian life correctly or lives God's principles unless they have chosen to live God's principles. You see, a person that comes in, and you may have come in, or maybe you were saved as a child, your parents raised you in church here, and you got saved. You became a Christian. Tremendous. That's the start. But sometime after you become a Christian, you're going to have to just decide, I am going to not just be saved and go to heaven, I am going to actually live for God. I'm going to try to follow His principle and follow His book on this earth. It's deliberate. Most of us live our lives by what's convenient, not by conviction. And conviction, people don't like that word. Conviction just simply means I believe what God says, and when I figure out what God says and I know what it means, then I make it a conviction and I do what it says because God said it after all. That's a conviction. Okay, you have a choice. Many Christians are in a place in their life, and so often what happens is we are tempted to blame someone else for where we're at. It's always happened. By the way, sometimes people are offensive. People will do things that maybe offend you or situations come up, but you know what? You're supposed to overcome those. You should not be content if you are upset about something and you're allowing yourself to be at a lower level and be content. Well, you know, I feel justified because of this. Why are you going to let somebody else determine where you're at? You know what I'm saying? Why are you going to let someone else mess up? I'm kind of upset at them, or and then you're going to let them determine it? That's your choice. And don't let them do that. Okay? Don't blame, we'll blame all kinds. We'll blame the school, the church, a Christian, whatever it is, a circumstance. You are where you're at because you choose to be. All of us are faced with the choice between compromising God's truth or complete obedience. And we ought to just choose obedience. Does that mean sometimes we don't get do what we should do? Of course it does. But we're choosing to strive to try to be what God wants us to be. Okay? If you don't, you say, well, I'm just not going to choose. Then you have chosen. Okay. There's two choices. Yes or no. I'm going to do it or I'm not. Well, I'm not choosing. Then you chose not. Because anything that's not a yes is a no. Are you there? Okay. So we choose. That's always where it starts. The second verse, verse 31, says, I have stuck unto thy testimony. So the second word is stuck. Okay. What is that? This is the determination. Stuck means attached or adhered to. So once we make a decision, I've chosen to live by God's law, by God's word, then we have to be determined enough to say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to stay as close to it as I can. I'm not going to just make the decision and then float away and not really do anything to make it happen. I'm going to actually make it happen. I'm going to be stuck. Remember, with the super glue, right? The little tiny thing, and it's supposed to bond anything. Well, that was when I was younger as a kid, we kind of discovered super glue. And what we would do to people, and we would try to fool them with something like, hey, let me put a little, how long can you pinch your fingers together with this stuff? And we'd put it together, and then it's like, how many of you ever done that with super glue? Okay, you're not the sharpest knives in the drawer, right? Okay. And by the way, I've done it. And then you're trying to peel it and you're under hot water, and you gotta get a little knife and kind of, and it kind of hurts. That stuff works, it's stuck. Well, if we're determined to follow God's word and we've chosen to do it, we're going to stick. We're going to stay as close to it as we can. Every decision you make to do right is going to be challenged and tested. Understand that. It's going to be challenged and it's going to be tested. It's not just I've chosen to follow God's word and it's all going to be good. It can't all be good, but there's going to be a time I'm going to have to fight through this thing. We're going to have to be determined to follow. And then, look at verse 112 we have there. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes, what's the next word? Always, even unto the end. See, it's like I'm in it, and I'm in this thing until, death do me part. So we choose, and then we stick, we get stuck. Lastly is, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Run. Okay, that's the desire. That's going to be the path of my life. I'm going to it. I want that in my life. Run. That's the everyday nitty-gritty of it. Once we have decided to follow God's word, and then we're determined that we'll do it no matter what, then we desire to live that out in our life. The rubber always hits the road. God's word widens our heart, as he says here, when thou shalt enlarge my heart, allowing us to see how the profitability of following God's word. The reason sometimes we don't do that is because we don't really believe in our heart that God's way is the best way. And we need to understand that. Do you know God's way is the best way? Now, we're always going to get sold a bill of goods. Satan is a deceiver. That's his, the number one characteristic of Satan is that he's a liar. I think it's John 8, 44. You know, you are of your father, the devil, who's a liar from the beginning and so forth and all that. He abode not in the truth. So Satan is a liar. And he lies to us and gets us to think that doing our own thing is the best way. That, you know, oh, that's just not, that's a lie. It's always best to follow God's way and God's path. And I'm just mentioning this briefly. It's really the next point. Okay. We see that differently. We think God's word is restrictive, narrowing what we can do. By the way, teenagers, you have to fight through that. Really, you do. And if you've grown up in church particularly, there's going to have to come a point in your life where you look at things and like, you know, you don't see it that way. It seems like when you grow up in church and you grow up in the word and you're in our Christian school and it's kind of given to you there, you kind of lose a sense of what it's all about. It's not restrictive. Okay? Sin is restrictive. Following God is not restrictive. We think sin is liberating, allowing us a multitude of choices. By the way, sin does allow a multitude of choices. The right path is always the narrow path, okay? Sin does allow a lot of choices, but it has a lot of negative payoffs. Satan's not in the business of making sure you win, okay? You know, Las Vegas, I don't go there, but Las Vegas is not in the business of giving out money.
That's right.
I don't know if you know this, they always win. Oh, but I know someone that won $1,000. I know. And they spent $600 to get the $1,000. And after they won the $1,000, they blew it all back trying to get $10,000. Okay? You don't win. They're not a benevolent society. That's how sin is. That's why, you know, it says enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Yeah. Then the payment kicks in. Okay? It's like you buy that you buy something on credit. Oh, this is wonderful until you get the first bill. It's not so wonderful after that, is it, right? It's kind of restrictive if you're not careful. That's just Satan's lie. So that leads us naturally to the fifth point. And it's something we have to just fight through, I'm telling you. True freedom comes within the limits, you can say confines, but I'll use the word limits, of God's word. Okay? He says in verse 45, I will walk at liberty. Why? For I seek thy precepts. Liberty comes from God's word. God's word tells us things that we should do. God's word tells us things we should not do. Now, we're just ingrained in our human nature that if you're told what to do, or you're told what not to do, it's restrictions. That's not restrictions. Safety. Because freedom comes when we follow. God states that we will walk at liberty when we are seeking and obeying his precepts. Look at the verse there in James chapter 1, verse 25. Here's a phrase that seems like an oxymoron, kind of like government organization. That's an oxymoron. It doesn't exist. Okay, I'm driving on, I don't know if you've noticed, how many of you drive on the 405 that way? Have you noticed there used to be two lanes getting off on Bellflower Boulevard? For some reason, they took one of those away. How many of you noticed that? Now when you go, it's like everything stops right there until you get past it, and I'm like, there's no purpose to taking that lane away. Dummies. But it's like, just kidding. Like, I could help them with that. If they would just ask me, I would have said, that's not a good idea. Now, here it is, James chapter 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh, and this is speaking about the word of God, into the perfect law of liberty. Yeah. Those are two, you know, that's like saying looking into the hot cold. If it's hot, it's not cold. If it's cold, it's not hot. Well, how can law be liberty? Because law brings liberty. Freedom comes when we live within the law. By the way, you know what's wrong with our society? You know what's wrong in our country? The laws are up for grabs. They're not enforced. And there's some of them are just flat out ridiculous. Laws are supposed to be, as it says in Romans, a terror to the evil and a reward to those who are good. A society without, look, you know, we see sometimes the videos of the roads in Cambodia. It's like fasten your seatbelts and just, you know, no lie, going through all this stuff and, you know, wrong side of the street and all that nonsense. Pray that you make it. Isn't it a lot better when you have lines to stay in and everything is, the laws bring order to a society. They bring order to a life. Laws maintain liberty. Okay, right, proper laws. Now our country, by the way, I don't know if the governor signed it yet, but I don't hold much hope here. They passed that law. If somebody, the Congress people or them, they signed. So if someone is gay or transgender or anything like, and they want counseling to change, it's against the law. Now, first of all, how can you tell somebody what they can get counseling for? Now, if they want to get counsel about how to shoot somebody or kill somebody, I that's good. That's against the law. Yeah. By the way, it's worse. Any book that's anti-homosexual can be banned. Do any of you know one? Yeah. The Bible. I think it's on the governor's desk. I don't know if he signed it yet. Okay? But anyhow, proper laws maintain liberty. Well, how do you have proper and just laws? You have to have a proper and just person, and that's God. His laws, if we live them, bring a freedom to life that you can experience. It's only when we go outside of those laws that liberty is lost, because that's where the harm is. The harm is not when we stick with God. The harm is when we go outside of God. And that's where all of the different things that can happen to us is there. Again, what's the problem? Our mindset needs to change. God's laws bring liberty. Do you know what brings bondage? Sin. Doing your own thing. That always brings bondage. We don't understand that. Now, what is the problem? Well, the problem with that is this. In the Christian world, we circumvent this because we throw in this one wonderful word, which is just totally, totally, totally misinterpreted. The word would be grace. Not you, grace. Real grace. You know, you can even say it in a liberal way. I'm under grace. I love the word grace. Grace is wonderful. Grace is not a license to sin.
Amen.
What does the Bible say? I always like to see what the Bible says. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By the way, thank God grace abounds more than sin. For salvation or as a Christian when we sin, God's grace can overcome all of that, of course. We understand that. But so because God's grace can overcome sin, does that mean we should continue to sin? It's okay to sin? What's the next two words of verse 2? God forbid. Now I'm going to translate that for you. No way, Jose, or Maria, or Billy. No way. No. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know what grace says? Grace says you are dead to sin. You're dead to its eternal consequences. And you're dead, if you read through Romans, you're dead to its dominion in your life.
Right.
But Christians are now throwing it in and saying, we're under grace. We can do these things, and if someone says that the Bible says something is wrong, you are a legalist. Okay, be very, very careful. Even in our Baptist things, in our Baptist circles, you know, they're throwing that word around, and they don't have a clue what it means. Man, if you understand God's grace, which is wonderful, we have the grace to get away from the penalty of sin. Isn't that wonderful? and it gives us freedom in the life we live. Look at verse 11 to 15. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. See, that's the problem. Sin, when we let sin reign in our body, then we are under the control of our lust, our desires. And when we follow our desires, it does not lead to freedom. It leads to bondage. It leads to pain. It leads to hurting us. The stuff that falls under the guise of Christianity today blows my mind. There's a church up in, we were just up in the city on vacation, not Monterey, the one next to it, Santa Cruz. There's a church in Santa Cruz. Here's what they did. They opened up a brewery. What's a brewery for those of you? They make their own beer. And that's where they have their church services. And they sell the beer to the people in their church. Now, here's the kicker. If that's not bad enough, I wouldn't want to stand before God. Woe unto him that gives his neighbor drink. But anyhow, if that's not bad enough, they're giving the part of the profits to Planned Parenthood for abortions. Okay? I don't know what that is, but that is not Christianity. That is stupidity-anity. It's just, we just bought, and I don't think that's a Christian church, to be real honest with you, by the way. You have a conscience that's just crazy. But that's what happens when you let your lust just go free. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That means we willingly allow ourselves when we are following our lust because we're letting sin reign. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Well, wait a minute. I thought I was alive if I'm saved and I can do whatever I want because I'm under God's grace. Actually, you're living like a dead person. You're living like a dead Christian. For sin shall not, sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under what? Grace. Oh, I'm not under the law, man. I can do what I want. No, you're not under the law, the penalty of the law, the all that stuff. You're under grace, which tells you don't sin. Don't be under dominion to sin. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? There it is again. No way, Jose. God forbid. It's like, yeah, right. When a Christian fully understands that sin is, understands that it's sin that is restrictive and following God's word is liberating, then he's getting a true and full and proper understanding of God's grace. Now, it's hard sometimes as we think about it. We got to live this Christian life and we fight the world and we fight the flesh and we fight the devil. That's hard, right? That's what God's grace helps us to do, though. God's grace gives us the power to say you don't have to live in dominion to sin. You can fight it and you can get victory over that if you want to. We want to narrowly define grace as just giving us salvation. And then because it's forgiven us of all of our sin and we believe in eternal security, and we do, we can just go on our merry way. Listen, you may go on your way, but it will not be merry. It will not be merry. You may make it to heaven, but you're not going to have a rough ride, cowboy. Now, I think I have this in your grace overcomes all forms of sin, the eternal penalty of sin through salvation, and the temporal, when I mean temporal, I mean on this earth, power of sin through sanctification. See, because we have a tendency to sin, we always want to look for an excuse to allow us to do it. Because it looks cool. Especially now that Christians are just totally buying into it. And we're bringing the nightclub atmosphere into the church. And we're bringing the nightclub music into the church. And we got pastors that look like hip-hop artists. And I'm talking about in Baptist churches now. And they want the, hey, God loves you. We're not condemning here. It's not condemning to say sin is wrong.
Right.
You know, Amen. It's not condemning. It's actually helpful because it's going to hurt you. If I knew there was someone waiting in the back parking lot to beat you up when church was over, I would tell you about that, depending on who you are.
Amen.
I might say, hey, let's all wait here. You know, Raul, your truck's waiting. Why don't you go ahead and get an early start? Let us know what's happening. That would be what? That's, you're condemning me, bro. No, I'm not condemning you, bro. I'm trying to help you. Okay, so let's, I love this verse in Jude. Jude talks about false prophets and so forth. You know, a lot of guys you listen to on the internet, and you're listening to on the radio. They're not, you know, yeah, they may say the right things about salvation, but they say some things that are just nonsense. Look at Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men. How do we can tell they're ungodly? You ready? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Sinful lifestyle. Now, we may do something wrong, but we say, by the grace of God, I need to get forgiveness for that. But to say it's okay because I'm under grace, and you use grace as an excuse to do this stuff, it's ridiculous. The church of today loves alcohol, and I don't understand that. I don't. You don't have to have the IQ of a thimble to see the devastation that alcohol has brought to this country. Yeah. Yeah, I remember a long time ago, many years ago, Stephen was like 3 or 4, maybe 5. I went to the Lighthouse bookstore, the Money Changers, over here, and there was a bar there, and I was parked by the bar. So afterwards, I'm like, let's go get a drink. No. Stephen's like, you know, Stephen could hear the music or something, like, what is that? And I'm like, come here, let me show you that. That's where people drink. And that's guys that should be home right now with their children, and they're in there because they're drinking. It's not good. You know. Now, they're going to show you the beautiful lady, you know, and dressed like a harlot, but she's beautiful, and everybody's having a good time drinking. That's not what's going down. Okay? That's not what's going down. And families have been ruined, and it's just, but Christians are now bringing that in. Hey, let's talk about theology and have a brew together. First off, if you talk theology, you wouldn't have the brew. But we're bringing all this nonsense. You know why? Let's just be real honest. Because they like lasciviousness. They like doing sin. They like doing their own thing. There is no what they call restrictions, when the fact of the matter is, it's not a restriction. It's freedom. Freedom comes when you follow God's word. You don't have to worry about all the penalties of sin. Man, you're free. Isn't it free to have a conscience, a clean conscience? Amen. Many years ago, when my appendix ruptured, they didn't catch it. They were trying to figure out why I was sick for several weeks, and they took they were taking a bunch of blood tests, and one of the nurses in our church at the time called my wife and said, your husband has, we did his blood test, he has hepatitis C. My wife's like, what's that? I'm like, you get that from drug abuse or being immoral. Yep. So my wife's like, hey, they said you have hepatitis C, but they're going to run it again. I'm like, I know, they're going to run it again. It's not going to be hepatitis C when they run it the second time, guaranteed. It didn't bother me an ounce. Why? Because I didn't start taking drugs till after the drug test, till after the blood test. Sounds good. You know why? I'm not taking drugs and I'm not sleeping around. It didn't bother me one bit. That's a clean conscience. You know, it's nice to have a clean conscience.
Yes, sir.
It's nice not to. Look, some of you, and I know in a church this size, and I'm not condemned, some of you are addicted to pornography, or you're on pornography. Okay? If you're involved in that right now, your conscience will bother you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But when you get freedom from that, why the freedom to be a man and look at women? No, it bothers your conscience if you're saved. But when you get freedom from that, there's a freedom that says, I don't have that problem.
Yeah.
Or I got victory over that problem. That's when I was back then. I'm different now.
Yes, sir.
Freedom comes from keeping the law. Okay? The mindset that the Bible is restrictive has no place in the Christian life. I'm done, but let me just give you two words people are going to say. Or they'll say, if they hear the word, like, oh, yeah, that's a bunch of list. It's not a bunch of list. Okay? But God does say some things aren't right. God does say some things are wrong. I can't help you anymore with that. It's just a list. Okay, read your Bible and tell me what you're coming up with. And here's the other one. you're a legalist. Okay, really? Okay, let me help you. Legalism is adding works to salvation, right? That's what that is. It's not legalism to say, you know, look, if my kids are driving, I'm like, keep the law. Dad, you're a legalist. I mean, I don't want to drive on the right side of the street. I'd rather go to the left. It's not legalism. It's common sense, cowboy. And I don't need my car wrecked, and I don't need my insurance rates hiked. And I don't need you to kill yourself. Okay? So it's not. Let's just understand that. If we would just understand, and we're done, that God's word and following it gives us just so much liberty and freedom in life. And when we get into sin, that's what messes us up. And it looks cool. I'll just be honest with you. Everything on television makes it look good. Everything you're listening to makes it look good. If you're listening to the wrong music, you know, let's sing love music. No, it's lust music. And how many people have been ruined by that? All that stuff, it sounds good, they make it look good, but in reality, it's not very good. You know what's good? Just following God. Following God's good. All right, let's pray.